The epistle appointed to be read for this, the Sunday, within the octave of the Nativity, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time set by his father. So we too, when we were children, were enslaved under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that he is no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were marveling at the things spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be contradicted. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her maidenhood, and by herself as a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple, with fastings and prayers, worshiping night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give praise to the Lord and spoke of him to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. And when they had fulfilled all things prescribed by the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. First of all, this morning, my beloved people, in the name of all of the monks and the nuns, I would like to take this opportunity to extend to you a very happy, holy, blessed, and magnificent new year. Let us all try to find, part the clouds and the smoke, and see if we can find beauty somewheres along the way. Our beauty, my beloved people, resides primarily in ourselves, to the extent that we give God glory and praise each time the clock goes around to another year. Do you realize that pretty soon we will be taking, that we will have gone through, believe it or not, nearly one-tenth of a century already, of the new century, how time does go by. So therefore, let us pray during these days of this new year that's coming, and let us try and work to extend to it that which it should have for us, and that is a betterment. Not so much a bunch of idle promises that, you know, resolutions which the world makes and has no intention of keeping, and which does not keep, but we who have already committed ourselves, who have already placed ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, that this is for us another occasion, another opportunity to renew our commitment, to renew our promise, to renew our dedication. This is what the new year is for. So therefore, my beloved people, accept the greetings of a new year from us to you, and from you to us, that we may together, in the weakness of it all, in the thunder of it all, that we will save our immortal souls. The bulletin this year, oh yes, and New Year's Day, of course, is Thursday of this week, and it is a holy day of obligation, and that we must go to Mass on Thursday. There will be only two Masses on Thursday, one at 6 and one at 10 in the morning, both in the morning. Experience taught us that the evening Mass is of no avail because it has a serious competitor, and we all know what the competitor is on New Year's Day. So we don't make any attempt to have a Mass in the evening on New Year's Day. We will not have the usual morning holy hour on Thursday, New Year's Day, but we will have the usual holy hour in the afternoon on New Year's Day. Today, in today's bulletin, we will talk about it more as time proceeds, is a copy of the Epiphany blessing. Please do not throw away the bulletin until after you've had the opportunity of going through the Epiphany blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today, even though, and we had to read the epistle and gospel for today's Sunday, because every Sunday has to be accounted for, as you know. But today is a feast, a very precious feast. It is the feast of the Holy Innocents. It is a very special and precious feast, in that so much can be accomplished by our devotion to the Holy Innocents. They were the very first called upon by Almighty God to shed their blood for His cause. And they did. Of course, you say, what did they have to say about it? We have no earthly notion of what went through their precious little minds, their innocent little minds, their innocent hearts and souls on that day. We should pray to the Holy Innocents for the welfare of our own little children. You know that. You know what it is that our little children are going to have to face before it is over with. Let us start them out correctly, and let us put them under the patronage of the Holy Innocents. Those who are committed to the protection of life in all that is going on at the moment, and the countless millions of little infants, tiny little children, unborn children, they cannot be counted. Who else should we go to but the pure souls and the pure hearts of the little innocents? who are standing before the face of God at this moment and giving praise to Him at this moment. My beloved people, there is much that we can obtain from the pure innocence and the holy innocence that we pray and celebrate to this morning. If the holy innocents are not there at the presence and face of Almighty God at this precise moment, then I give up. There is no chance for me. I will let somebody else do this work. If they are not there at this precise moment, there are those, tragedy of tragedy, who are convinced that they are not there. May God have mercy on them. So therefore, in today's bulletin, in the thought to remember, is a little quotation. May I read it to you? The most efficient way of forming a child's heart to virtue and piety is to cause in the heart of that child the love of God to predominate over the fear of God. Let me read that last sentence. I stuttered over it. May I repeat it so that it makes some sense? To cause in the heart of that child the love of God to predominate over the fear of God. You hear much from this pulpit concerning the love of God. Our little children will pick up on that if the parents give them a proper, committed, consistent, dedicated example concerning the love of God. If I may say so, and we have contacts, as you know, from all parts. If I may sadly say so, that in too many places and by too many people who claim to know, the fear of God is what is presented to the children. And the kind of God that these little children are made to see, oh gracious, I don't want to have anything to do with him, because he is a monster sitting there with a big stick waiting, looking, always looking, with spies all around, looking and checking, always ready to trip me up. That's not a God of mercy. That's not a God of love. We speak of his justice. Yes, indeed, God is just. But in his justice, God is eminently merciful and is eminently loving. This entire octave of Christmas and everything about this octave of Christmas has to do with the love of God. already during at Christmas time and at other times too, we have emphasized the very fact, and it is a historical fact, a spiritual historical fact, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity took the form of man, became man. For what purpose? For what purpose did all of this happen? We must be grounded in our religion to know what that purpose was. It is not reading a fable. It is not reading an idle fable. Until the coming of Jesus Christ on this earth, until the beginning of his work, and it was work, from the first moment to the last, until that took place, we were unable to fulfill the purpose for which we were made. Then you might say, well, then why didn't God stop making us? He couldn't do that without contradicting himself. He had set himself out to go forth, told us to go forth and increase and multiply, which we have done. But why must we increase and multiply? To fill the acres of this planet? Not likely. Not likely at all. And anybody at all in his right mind can figure that one out. For the welfare of the earth, incidentally, there are those, and quite a few, who have much to say about Mother Earth and how they worship the earth, the wind, the fire, and the water. And I have heard long since that in some establishments of some of our most prominent religious orders, teachers in classrooms, nurses in hospitals, they were all instructed to remove the crucifixes from around and about their houses and places, to take the crucifixes away. And do you want to know what they replaced the crucifixes with, dearest people? Then you wonder, and you wonder, and you wonder. Fire, wind, water, and earth. They replace the crucifixes with the totem pole. Believe it or not. And so we have work to do. And these little children, these little babies, little innocent babies, were the first of all to be called upon to do their work. And let their blood flow for the cause of Jesus Christ. And precious people, we must be about understanding the seriousness of it all, and how those militate, fight against the whole idea, the whole principle, the whole entire fact of what our purpose is. Each and every one of you and us, myself, every one of us individually, was formed by Almighty God. And the working of nature brought this about. He, God, ordained this, and to be used for the purposes of bringing about the fulfillment of his desire, us. Why us? Why did we, want to come to populate this silly place of ours we call the earth, which we now worship? Then why? Why are you here right now? Why am I here right now? Beloved people, why? There's only one reason for this, and only one reason for you, for me, for all of us, and that is to be with him for all eternity. He made me for him. He made you for himself. No other reason did he have in mind in the creation of you or me. And how, when we talk foolishly and believe stupidly and act with the influence of that one arch enemy, then we need to stop and think. What is the very word that is so prominent in today's world? And believe it or not, dear ones, look into your own households. Look all around you. What were the very first words ever recorded, spoken of, spoken by a creature of God? The very first words. The motto of today's world. I will not serve. And this is the motto of today's world. And you are being called upon to counter this horrible idiom or expression. You are, we are, and we will stand against it. You will serve. Does that mean that you will lose freedom? Not at all. Stop and think and consider, if necessary, the slavery that any of us, and it was slavery, the slavery that sin put upon us. Sin put chains around us, me and you. That's where slavery is. The only place for freedom, of freedom, is at the throne, at the feet of our Creator. No other place will do. If you want freedom, real freedom, honest freedom, that's where you must go. Today, again, is the feast of the sainted little babies, tiny little innocent babies who were slaughtered. But that began a slaughter which we today are in the midst of. Prayer and prayer alone can put an end to that slaughter. No other force can stop it. And to whom should we go? To the first who were slaughtered. Pray to the Holy Innocents. Pray to them earnestly and ask them earnestly to help you, to help us, to help this confusion that is all around us, because you can see instantly the confusion that surrounded them on the day of their slaughter. Of the powers of hell run loose. So therefore, today, I encourage you in the training of your little children to show to them that it is the love of God, not the fear of God, that should promote us to stay from sin. The fear of God, yes, is certainly good. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We know that. But as far as my own experience in life goes, which is more precious, when I obeyed my parents? Was it because I was scared to death of them? Or because I love them? Did I stay away from the wrong things in life that my parents brought to my attention? Did I stay away from those things because I feared my parents and the punishment that would come from them? Or was it because I loved them and did not want to hurt them? Which of these two is the better? Your children must see and understand and comprehend that it is the love of God that should motivate them to good, not the fear of God. So, Happy New Year, Happy Feast of the Holy Innocents. Keep first things first in everything you do. Remember that every first thing you put first on the list will always be militated against. There will be one who is constantly scratching it out and taking it off the list. Do not, in the coming days that we do not know anything about, do not give in to that which is evil, no matter who is preaching it. May you be blessed, and certainly on the first day of the year coming in preparation, please kneel, and I will give you a blessing that God will particularly protect you and protect those you love sincerely and honestly, and that everything you do, that He will be there. Your prayer. Don't give up your prayer. You might say, I pray and I pray and I pray, and the more I pray, the less I get. The more I pray, the farther away He seems to be. That's precisely when you should say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Please kneel.